Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I've been stirring in my heart to share these things with you for the past month or so. It's not the first message that I speak on this subject. As a matter of fact, you'll be hearing me say repetitiously things that I've said before concerning this subject, if you will. But since we know that God's word is unchanging, all I can do is mention to you the word of God as it remains forever. And so this morning I want to be an encouragement to you. This whole week I've heard from some of you and the needs that you have and the struggles that you are going through. Not all of you, but several of you. And I think that if it's just one of you, it's worthy to preach on this subject, because I believe that God wants to give you deliverance as well if there's only one of you in this place. But I know there's more. Can you say amen? How many have a need this morning? How many have a need, a true need in the presence of the Lord? I'm not talking about an ingrown toenail, but let me tell you, if that's important to you, it's important to God. But even if it is just a simple ingrown toenail, how many have a need in the house of God today? How many know that God is a need meter? How many know that God can meet your need right where you're at? You don't have to go till tomorrow. You can ask and receive from the Lord today. This past week, I heard this testimony of this young man, a young boy, 14-year-old. And it just ministered to me. It made me weep. And as I was reading and hearing him speak his situation, they showed this young man in his life growing up with a wonderful family and siblings. And they show he was the oldest, is the oldest of the family. And he's a real leader, a real scout. I mean, just a really on beat young man. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, and I wouldn't really want to talk too much about it, because really somehow this affected me very deeply. And I'll get emotional and then I'll waste time and then you'll leave and I'll never get a chance to preach to you. But from one moment to the other, he's testifying, and all of a sudden then they show him again. He's got no hair. And he's a very pale-complected young man, and such a handsome boy. And he's sitting there, and he's sitting there with his mother, and he says to her, that's all he said, and that was enough. He said, "Hey, Mom, why am I suffering?" And he goes, "With this cancer." "Why am I suffering?" And she has a smile on his face like, "God, man, what a bummer. Why am I suffering with this cancer?" He had already been given endless amounts of chemotherapy and all these things. And it's just one of those moments where I'm sure it caught up to him when living his life, I'm sure he was still playing with his siblings and still eating at the dinner table and still doing all these things. But it's that moment that you may know about. I know that I do. You know, that moment when everybody seems to calm down, all the voices around you seem to relax and they become silent in some way. And all of a sudden you begin to look on the inside and you find out where you're at. You find out exactly where you're at in life. And as you find someone there you know who will listen, and all you can do is like, "Wow, man, why do I have to be in this position?" Ever been there? I know I have. All of a sudden, it's that rude awakening where somebody walks in and you wake up and, "Hey, how's going on? Hey, you want to go out there and play? Sure. Hey, you want to do this? Absolutely, yeah." But when they all go home, you sit there with no one else but yourself. And then you contemplate where you're at. And you say, "Wow. Why? Why?" I wish I had the answers. I don't know if this reason that this touched me so much when I read this past week, that it kind of took me to the place where I was not more than a year ago. Has anybody ever asked why? And it doesn't have to be sickness. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a babe or a son, a daughter, or a bad or failed marriage, a divorce, whatever it might could be that's causing you this terrible peril in your life. And you wake up to the reality from one moment to the other when everybody goes home and the party is over, per se, of your day. And you're just laying there at 9, 10 o'clock at night getting ready for bed. And then you feel those pangs of that thing that is lingering in your life. And you say, oh, man. Why am I going through these things? I wish I had the answers to all those things, but I don't as to why. But I'm here to give you hope and tell you that there is one who can change that. Who can change all those whys and those hopeless moments that we run into in life. He can come and give you hope with simply just revealing the reality of who he is. How many know that God is a miracle worker? How many know that though there are things that are impossible for man, all things are possible for God? All things. And I believe that more and more as we press into worship, more and more as we begin to surrender, more and more as we lift up holy hands, more and more as we stay away from those things that hinder our relationship with God, God is getting ready to give us what we've never received before openly. He's getting ready to reveal his power. You've heard DJ say this morning, I'm ready for miracles again. Where are the miracles? Where is the power, the liberating power of God? Where is it that the lame come to the altar and rise up and are healed? The blind's eyes are open. Those who are brokenhearted are healed. Failed marriages are restored and simply made new again. Those days seem so distant. But I'm here to tell you something. They don't have to be distant. Miracles are only as distant as God is distant to you. Because if we allow God to be present, how many know that where he is, there is the fullness of his power? You say, I don't believe that. All of you believe that. I said, the lack of miracles is only as far as God is from you. Where there is no God, there is no miracle. But if we keep God present in the house today, if you begin to worship him in spirit and in truth today, if you allow God to inhabit the praises of you, his people, then where he is, there is the fullness of his power. There is the fullness of his deliverance. There is the fullness of his healing. There is the fullness of his joy. There is the fullness of his refreshing. Sometimes we get so involved in our problem that we begin to think that God somehow has forgotten us. God has never forgotten you. God doesn't have a memory problem. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your ins and outs. He knows the time you lay and the time you rise. He's not a forgetful God. Neither the Bible says that he sleeps or slumbers. But he who watches over you is faithful. And he's always ready to loosen good things upon your life. Psalms 84 and 11 say, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows his favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. No good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. This is why I say the further God is from you or you are from God, there is no miracles. But when you bring him in close, there the fullness of who he is with you. And I don't know if your Bible says this, but my Bible says that he is the Lord that healeth thee. My Bible says that he is the high and strong tower, and to him the righteous will run and be saved. He withhold no good things. Have trouble believing that? Then read Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, think of the valuable that God gave up for you. Think of the prize he gave up for you. You see, we don't think about the cross anymore. We seldom think about Christ anymore. We don't think about the severity of his sacrifice. Jesus has somehow now come simply as some commodity in society. It's just a good thing to say when you want to sound religious or there's fear in your voice. Oh, Jesus. But have you ever contemplated and come to the realization that God gave his son for you? His beloved only son. For he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all. Then ask yourself the impossibility. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I am so thankful this morning that I have such a generous God. I have such gratefulness in my spirit. I could yell this morning and just thinking how awesome and how generous the Lord is in my life. Where I've been in my life to where I am now, I can only testify it is nothing more than the generosity of my God. The goodness of who he is, not who I am. The goodness of who he is. You need a miracle this morning. I've come to tell you that the days of miracle are not yesterday, and they're not tomorrow alone, but they are today. I said the days of miracles are today. Heaven's pantry concerning miracles is not bankrupt right now, regardless of what some may say. The power of God has not diminished. Over the years, he is not aging like I am. He is the Ancient of Days, yet he is the youngest of the youngest and the strongest of the strongest, even so today. 1 billion and 1 million years over before anything was, he already was. The most wonderful thing about this whole matter that God has not changed in his mind and willingness towards us is that he's always ready to provide for us what we need. His goodness never diminishes. There are reasons for this. There are reasons for God giving us this miracle. And I believe that we need this particular type of education even so today, because sometimes we misunderstand why God would even dare to heal us from a cancer. Why God would even come to heal our marriages. How God or why he would come and save our wayward children or heal our broken bodies. There are reasons that pertain to us and pertain to God. And I simply want to give them to you this morning. And then we're going to pray. I've been wanting to. I need to say this disclaimer in between as I continue my conversation with you this morning. I've been meaning to step down and just hug you and anoint you. But I'm being respectful. Some of you may still be in fear of this thing that was going on. And so please, if you are new here, please don't think that the pastor never goes down to embrace his people. I have cried in my heart to hold you. I have cried in my heart to go and anoint you like I used to and hold you from the shoulders and pray over you individually. But I've held back because of this thing. I don't want anyone to be afraid and say, well, I'm going to get sick or whatever it is. So if this morning I ask you to stand and maybe even ask you to come to the altar, we're going to pray over those things that you need, and we're going to believe that God is going to provide those things, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today. And if I don't step down to just pray on you, please know that my spirit is with you and I'm right in front of you praying and agreeing with what you need from God. Is that okay this morning? Is that okay, church? Yes. I don't wear a mask or anything. I probably should, as a doctor would advise me. I don't. I never have ever since I got out of the hospital. I just believe in my own personal health and the blood of Jesus, I guess. And that's not criticizing anybody who still does. That's okay. You do whatever it is that you need to do. But there are reasons for God performing miracles in our lives. And the very first reason I believe he would have me share with you is that because he loves you. I said, he loves you. Does it mean anything anymore to know that God loves you? Does it mean anything anymore to know that he who loves you watches over you on a daily basis? Have you ever considered what Christ has done to prove that love for you? Oh, I was remembering. And I haven't sung here on the worship team. I've been asked to, but again, I don't have. I seem to be yelling a lot better these days. And at first, I couldn't sing because my diaphragm has obviously been damaged because of my surgery. And I have no strength to press my lungs to sing anymore. So I'm just content having the privilege to play my guitar for you guys. And I hope you don't mind that. But there was a song I used to sing. And it's simply titled Amazing Love. Do you remember that song? I'm forgiven. You are forsaken. You are condemned. I'm alive and well. Or I am accepted. You are condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and you rose again. This is the chorus. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing love. The loudest cry our society and our world today screams is the scream for being loved, the desire to be cared for. Regardless of their position in life, everyone desires to belong and to be loved. The sad part about it, ladies and gentlemen, is a lot of people don't want to accept that love. And even sadder, that even in the church, those of us who profess to believe don't really acknowledge and walk in our lives aware of that love. conscious of that love on a daily basis. It's easy for us to lose control over situations in our lives, losing our center axis, if you will, and just thinking that everything is going to go kaput, it's going to be destroyed, or it's going to be a failure, or whatever, destruction. It all comes about us losing grip. The fact that God loves you, He'll never allow these things to come. We forget the day we met Him and He displayed His love. And we read that beautiful passage of love in Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Say with me, amazing love. Amazing love. Eugene Peterson has his own version of the Bible, if you will. It's called The Message. I don't normally read it, but there's sometimes he's very interesting and just writes in plain, simple English and expresses those particular verses in his own way. And I actually like the way he wrote down Romans 5, 7, and 8. The one I just read to you out of the New King James or the New International Version. But he writes it this way in The Message. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. We can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to self-sacrifice. But God put His love on the line for us by suffering His Son in sacrificial death, while we were of no use to Him whatever. I tell you what, that's simple English, isn't it? Jesus died for us. God gave His Son while we were of no use to God whatever. He expresses to us, you know, someone might sacrifice something for someone of value. Someone might give something for someone who is worth it, if you will. Someone who has an equal investment towards you. You might give something sacrificially. But to us who are no value to God, Jesus gave His most prized possession, His Son. See, God will give you a miracle. And you need to believe that God will provide for you the things you desire because He loves you. And anyone can deny that and say whatever it is that they want, but they'll never change what is a matter of fact. That John 15 and 13 says, greater love has no one than this. There is no greater love than the love that God has for His people. If we walked in that love on a daily basis, worship would be the simplest thing in this house. At the first sound of a piano, just walking in, your spirit will begin to bubble up in worship. It didn't matter how well they played or how this or the other. It was a matter of how much you knew He loved you and how worthy of His praise He is. Can I get an amen this morning? We lose out on His love sometimes because we begin to depend on other things for salvation. We begin to depend on other things to bring us joy, other things to help us relieve ourselves. You see, sometimes instead of believing that God can give you that miracle, let it be because you need a healing. You find more peace in the doctor telling you you're going to be okay. Isn't that the truth? You could have someone speak to you and say, hey, what's wrong? Well, listen, I've been diagnosed with this. But listen, God loves you, man. God loves you. He's not going to allow you to go through this alone. You'll come out victorious. Yeah, I know. I know. And then you see the doctor. Yes, doctor. Hey, listen, we found that it's really nothing. You'll be okay. Yes. Yes. And you're going like, I just told you that God loved you. And He's never going to, yeah, I know, but the doctor just said, I'm going to be okay. You see, it's hard now to to find someone who truly believes in the love of God, because the moment that you got a bad diagnosis over anything, and the Spirit of the Lord reminded you and said, I love you. You say, then I think that settles things. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay because God loves me. Psalms 33 and 17, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. Of those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive even in famine. Why will God give you what you need? And when will God give you what you need? When you come to the fact and the true reality and acceptance that God really loves you. I think it offends God sometimes to see us walk around like everybody else loves us except Him. No one has ever given you or given up what He has for you. Nobody's word is more faithful than the one who loves you. No power is greater than the one who loves you. God loves you. Secondly, I believe it's important for us to understand today that God will give you your miracle because it brings Him glory. Listen carefully. And this means a lot. Because sometimes we think that miracles come and bring us glory. We think that sometimes miracles come and give doctors glory. Now, I'm not speaking against doctors and nurses. Praise God. I pray for Baylor every day. That's where I was when I got my liver transplant. I thank God for every doctor who spent hours and endless hours. Their eyes were being up here after they finished with me. Their eyes were down here. They were so tired. I thank God for medicine. I thank God for every one of our nurses, even in this house. I thank God for medical doctors. Thank God. Thank God. But when we receive this miracle, when we receive this good news, when we receive this overcoming over our situation, you see, all of it first brings glory to God. It brings glory to the Lord. Psalm 66 and 1, shout with joy to God, all the earth sing glory of His name, make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against us. Praise our God, O people. Let the sound of His praise be heard. Somebody praise God this morning. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on. Somebody praise God this morning. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. I remember being wheeled out of that surgery room in pain and hurting, but I took a breath. Oh, I said, praise God. I'm alive and well. Hallelujah. Oh, I could have said, oh, thank you, Dr. Gosh. Oh, thank you, Baylor. Thank you, everything of which I did. But after I said, praise the Lord, I give you all glory, all honor, and all power. Let this miracle magnify your name. That's why God wants to give you a miracle. Not to give us glory. Not to bring anybody else glory first, but to give him glory. You see, miracles bring glory to God. This is why I believe the devil holds back people from the altar and holds us back from really submitting to God. This is why the worship team has to almost beg some of us, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him. Some of you are jumping up and down, giving him praise, and the others are going like. And I believe the devil does everything he can to keep you out of the zone of miracles. Do you understand that? The devil will do anything to keep you out of God's zone. He'll keep you right there with your hands in your pocket or checking your text or balancing your checkbook or taking care of your business or doing this or the other, or texting your people to meet you here at Luby's for lunch. And all it is Satan himself keeping you out of the circle of miracles. And he will do everything he can to keep you out of the zone, because he knows that miracles bring him glory. Oh, I wish somebody was listening this morning. Miracles bring God glory. The next morning you begin to feel better, bend your knee and give him glory. As you give him glory, the healing comes down. Hallelujah. I need to testify. I'm feeling better every day. Every day I'm feeling better. Every day. Oh, you remember I used to walk up here. I never wanted to give up preaching. I'd stand here and I'd be holding on and preaching to you. Ah. I never let the devil keep me out of the zone. I'm stepping into the zone. Hallelujah. Because as he keeps you out of the zone of praise and worship and realizing how much he loves you, he keeps you out of the zone of miracles. If he can keep you out of the zone of miracles, he can keep you out of the zone where he gets all the glory. Now you answer this question. You think God doesn't want to give you a miracle when it knows that miracles gives him glory? The Lord himself said, all the glory is mine. I will not share that with anybody. The glory and the honor is mine. So it's our duty as believers and those that know he loves us and know that he is powerful to step into the circle. To step into the zone of miracles, knowing that once you step into the zone of miracles, the glory begins to rise up into the nose of God as an incense of true praise and worship. Miracles. I better move faster. Why does God want to give you a miracle? Because it proves that he is faithful to his promise. I know this doesn't sound like divine revelation to some of you, but some of you wrestle with this. God would have not given me this message unless there's somebody in this house who has trouble believing what God says. Now, you may profess it. Oh, I believe in God's word. Oh, yeah, brother. I mean, God's word is infallible. I mean, it's pure and perfect. But yet your life reveals altogether different. Everybody say, ouch. Oh, was that you I was speaking to? You don't believe Jeremiah 3:33-3. You know it verbatim. You've read it to somebody. You've heard me say it 1,000 times here on this pulpit. You've heard it in Sunday school. You've heard it here and there, even at your friend's house. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. But do we believe that? call to me and I will answer you. Psalms 50 and 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will honor me. How many believe God's word? Well, I'm going to give you some homework. Some of us will walk out of this place today and we won't like the news we get tomorrow at work. Remember, you just waved your hand and said, oh, I believe in God's word. If we live another week, it's very possible that we're going to go through some troubled times. Somebody say amen. Now, this is not a ill wishing here. Well, pastor just condemned us all to bad things. No. I've been alive in this world for 62 years. Promise me, and I've had more than my share of troubles. And if God spares us and tarries a little bit more, we live here another 30 days, we're going to face something. Yes? But you remember Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call upon me and I will answer you. Call upon me in the days of trouble and I will deliver you. I asked you a question, how many believe in God's word? Less? When we do face that trouble, call upon the Lord and believe his word. Call upon the Lord and believe his word. Lord, you said if I'd call you, you would respond. I'm waiting, God, speak to me. God is faithful to his word. The Bible says that he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. The Bible says that when God loosens his word, it will not come back void, but it will produce that for which it was sent. I believe God's word. Is it hard to believe God's word? I think that would be a hearty amen. Yeah. I'll tell you myself. When things get ugly, when things get bad, when you're told you're going to die, when you're told that this is bad and that what's happening in your life or around you or to someone you love, then you can get nervous and believing the promises of God becomes a little bit more difficult, but it never is impossible. We can get ourselves to believe the truth of God. Some of our miracles this morning are standing at the threshold of true faith in God's word. Some of us are standing right here. And the miracle is right there. We're standing right here. I can smell it. I can almost feel it. But I just can't take a hold of it. And the only thing that's holding us back is full trust of his word. Believe that God is faithful. Believe that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household will be saved. Amen. Believe in God's word where he said, I am the God that healeth thee. Amen. Believe in God's word that says, I will provide all things unto you according to his riches and glory. His word that says, no weapon forged against you will prosper. Believe his word. God will give you the miracle of your life, the restoration of your life, whatever it is that your heart desires. I don't care if it's passing your next medical exam at school. God will give you that if you believe him and take him for his word. Nobody wants to be called a liar. And I'm wondering how many times our jesters tell the Lord, like, are you serious? Are you telling me the truth, God, for real? Nah. Nobody likes to be called a liar. The Lord lieth not. He is faithful. And finally this morning, I'll give you one more. It confirms his authority over all things. God will give you those things that you need in your life if you'll just love him and believe him for his word. you'll trust him for it, if you'll surrender to him for it, if you'll get into that zone. But he'll also give it to you to prove to you that truly everything is under his feet. That everything created was created by him and for him. That it is the authority of his throne that holds up the constellation of the heavens. I spoke to you last week and I told you that you can speak to those who measure gallons of water in the ocean. And though they say there's billions and trillions of gallons of water in the oceans, if you ask God how much water there is over the seas, the Lord will just simply have to cup his hand and say about that much. See, the Lord has authority over all things. There's nothing that he pays allegiance to or says, okay, I'll wait until you're ready for this. When he wanted his people to pass to the other side of the Red Sea, he spoke it, and immediately the sea stood up at attention. And his people walked on dry land. The moment his people said, we're hungry, the Lord ordained heaven to provide bread. There was a prophet who was hungry and would be hungry during his travels, and the Lord called upon a buzzard to feed him all the way. There was a prophet who was somewhat stubborn, about to do something on his own, but yet the Lord spoke to a mule or a donkey to correct him and give him direction. See, God has control over everything. Everything. You know, when we were kids, our mother taught us how to say this, and we still do to this day. Where you say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. Listen, I'll see you tomorrow. And what do we say? If God wills it. Si Dios quiere. Amen? ¿Cuántos saben lo que le estoy hablando? Nos vemos mañana, hermano. Sí, si Dios quiere. Si Dios quiere. Porque si no quiere, no nos vemos mañana. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, we'll see you in California when you get there, if God wills it. Why? If God wills it, because God is in control of all things. Every breath in your lungs, every blink in your eye, God is in control. Every song in the mouths of the fowl of the sky, God has control. The measure of the ocean's distance as it comes to shore are measured of God. God controls all things. Do you think he cannot control what you need today? When God gives you those things that you desire, it reveals his authority over all things. There's nothing impossible for him. Nothing. God will give you what you need. And if I can just mention this last thing. Where will God give you your miracle or provide you of your need is because he wants you to know, this should make you happy, that he's here right now. The Lord told his church, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. The Lord said, I will never leave you or abandon you as orphans. That no longer will I be on the outside of you, but now my spirit will be within you. I will be in you always. And miracles happen, as I said to you in the beginning, when God is here. That gives me great thought and question, why is it that little miracles happen in the church house anymore? When I just finished professing, I believe the truth of God, and that is where God is, there are miracles happening. I'm going to believe, just like the rest of you today, that it's time for miracles to happen in the house of God. It's time for salvation to happen in the house of God again. It's time for restoration to begin to happen in the house of God again. I don't care what's going on the outside of this place. I'm talking about the house of God, where God dwells with us. Miracles. Do you believe Him today? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. See, the Lord told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5, He said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." The Lord spoke to us, the mouth of Isaiah and 43, verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." But what is the key word in this whole passage? What is His key statement? "I will be with you." How many believe that God is here? How many have made room for God in this house? Then if He's here, then how many know that there are miracles in the house? How many know that the troubles that you're going through will cease today because He's here? How many believe that your body will stop hurting today because He's here? How many know that cancer you were diagnosed with will flee because He's here? How many know that failed marriage will restore because He's here? That lost and wayward child will come to know God because God is here.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.